You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Congratulations to a Brazilian man who, at the age of 100, which is a feat in and of itself, breaks the world record for the longest time at one company. Yes, he has the Guinness World Record for staying at one company for 84 years and 9 days. It's a textile company called Renewview, R-E-N-E-A-U-X, View, V-I-E-W, and it was confirmed and certified that he was hired at the age of 15, worked for the company ever since. Now, when you say to yourself, what's the man's name? Well, it's Walter Orthman. And what is, nothing says Brazilian like Walter Orthman. Apparently, his family, he started working there because he knew how to speak German. Huh. A German family in Brazil. Huh. So he was able to, communicate and help with the shipping and the wheeling and dealing, and is now a sales manager and has been held that position for many years. So anyway, congratulations to Walter. What did I say his name was again? Oh yeah, the German Walter Orthman in Brazil, although he's a Brazilian man, so I'm guessing he's a Brazilian citizen, who worked for Renewview for 84 years and 9 days. And I guess that's still counting. As far as I know, Walter is still kicking, and he's still going to work at the textile company. He said that he feels proud and honored and happy to have achieved something that on one hand is rather rare, but on the other is simply the result of my passion to work as something that makes me wholesome. Well, congratulations, Walter. I mean, that's certainly something that doesn't happen anymore, right? I mean, company loyalty is tough to come by. I mean, when we see so many companies show zero loyalty to employees, it's always good to find a company that shows a little loyalty to their employees. Anyway, congratulations to Walter for making it to 100 and for continuing to work every day at the old textile company in Brazil. Congratulations. And another Guinness World Book of Records, which is something this show needs to have happen soon. Sooner, not later. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked. From small family farms to your dining table, Moink gives you access to the freshest, sustainably sourced meat and fish, all while supporting American family farms. And you can help save the family farm and get access to the highest quality meat on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Now, we've talked about how 60% of the U.S. pork production comes from one company owned by the Chinese, and their hogs are given something called ractopamine, which is banned in 160 countries, including China. Yet you can find it in your grocery aisle every day. There's a better way. And let me tell you about Moink. That's moo plus oink. Moink, okay? Delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did. And as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should, because the family farm obviously does it better. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes, delicious. Chicken breasts, delicious. Pork chops, delicious. Salmon fillets, delicious. And, of course, my favorite, much, much more, delicious. Plus, you can cancel at any time. It feels so great when that box shows up at the door and it's that Moink box. I mean, you're gonna be saying, oink, oink. I'm just so happy I got Moinked, along with the rest of us who get Moink delivered to the house. I mean, Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called the Moink bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. And I mean, it is so good. I love their bacon. And Ring doorbell founder Jamie Smirnoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. So become part of the Oink Oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked movement. All right, keep American farms going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Jeffy right now. And listeners to this show right now, get free filet mignon, delicious, in every order for a year. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you'll ever taste. It's for a limited time. So go to moinkbox.com/Jeffy right now. moinkbox.com/Jeffy. That's moinkbox.com/Jeffy. So a couple of things to possibly be concerned about. Be on the lookout for Casey White and Vicky White. I guess they're no relation. She is a prison guard, and he is a prisoner, or I should say former, because they've gone missing. Yeah, I know. They just took off. Now, the U.S. Marshals Service is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the pair. So that's, I mean, be on the lookout. Now, this happened in Alabama. They don't know if there was a romantic relationship between the two. Vicky was known as an exemplary employee with an unblemished record. And her co-workers are just shattered. Are they? So she's a widow with no children, and her mother and two brothers live in Lauderdale County. She worked for about 20 years with the department. Wow. She submitted her retirement papers last week. And then they just disappeared. She took the prisoner for some kind of appointment. She said she had an appointment. They have video of them taking the prisoner van and then dropping it off. And then there's no information after that. Oh, okay. I mean, there's no video anywhere after that? Nope. Okay. I mean, he has confessed to killing and then pleaded not guilty. He was going to go back on trial, right? He had to go for more court appearances in the murder case, but they are still missing. So he's 6'9", weighs somewhere around 250, where they're assuming he's armed because she was armed. All right. Don't try to approach either one of them. Both could consider them armed and dangerous. Yeah, no kidding. Now, maybe the, you know, prisoner took the guard prisoner. It's possible. I'm sure the other guards are thinking that that's probably the case, but this looking like that's not really the case. It's looking like she did this on her own. So that's all. That's all I'm saying. Be on the lookout for Casey White and Vicky White. They are on the run. She violated protocol when she removed Casey White from the detention center by herself. Policy required that supposed to be escorted by two sworn deputies, but she said, I got that. All precautions were in place. I know that she violated policy, but we let it happen because it's Vicky. And so that's it. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. Were they in love? Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. And don't worry about those murder cases against Casey. Yeah, just don't worry about it. Okay. Yeah, sure. He was serving 75 years for a series of crimes and awaiting a capital murder trial, but that's fine. So just be on the lookout for Casey and Vicky White as one. The guy is 6'9", 250, probably keeping his head on a swivel with a hat, and his head is on a swivel but looking down. You know the type. And she, according to this picture, had blonde hair, but that obviously could change very fast. So be on the lookout and do not approach, but call authorities. You may get an extra 10 grand in the bank account if you lead to their arrest. As long as we're on prisoners in the news, we may as well talk about the state prisoner in Colorado becoming the first individual in the United States known to have contracted bird flu. Yay! Oh, wait, what? No, we're not applauding? No. The individual was reported to be an inmate working in a pre-release employment program, and he was allegedly helping cull chickens from a potentially infected flock at a commercial poultry outfit, and he got bird flu. Now, according to this, he recovered quickly with minimal symptoms, and it said that the matter was not at present a cause for concern. We want to reassure Coloradans that the risk to them is low. Well, yeah. I mean, just because we have that and we had the report of the first known case of bird flu in humans in China, we talked about that last week, but the risk to human-to-human transmission is so low. There's just nothing to worry about. You know, it would seem to me, and I am not a doctor, I am not a, what do they call the dingleberries that are epidemiologist? I am not an epidemiologist. I like to play one from time to time. I would just say that chances are the more humans get the bird flu or the H3NH strain of the avian flu, that it would become a higher risk that other humans would get it. These humans obviously are getting them directly from the chickens. Whatever they're doing with the chickens is their own business. But I would say that the more humans get it, the more we have to worry about human-to-human transmission. But again, I am not a doctor. I am not an epidemiologist. So what do I know? All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Oh. So as long as we're in the break room, I'm working on something that I think will help a lot of people. I'm working on creating a PSA for CNN Plus survivors. So just help me work through this real quick. But are you or someone you love a CNN Plus survivor? Are you asking yourself, how could I love someone who subscribed to CNN Plus? Or how could I have subscribed to CNN Plus? It's important to remember, this is not your fault. Nothing you did or could have done differently makes this your fault. If you're someone who loved a subscriber, survivors can experience their triggers and trauma responses as highly distressing and would love nothing more than to never have them again. Make the responsibility on CNN Plus. You are not alone. There are so few of you that it does feel that way, but you're not. Call 1-888-900-3393 for help. An operator should be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The wounds will heal. There will be scars, but it should get better as time passes. Don't let tomorrow be ruined by today. Call 888-900-3393 and become a better CNN Plus survivor today. Something like that. It's a rough draft. I just want to help people. That's what I'm here for. And congratulations to Don Lemon. You know, I was fascinated by the big smile that he had while taking pictures at the pre-party for the correspondence dinner. You know, that's the party that there's a big picture of him and Fauci all huggy-huggy at the pre-party because Fauci couldn't go to the main party. It was too It's too much of a risk for him. But he was there with pal Don Lemon, who had a big old happy smile on his face. And now we know why. His accuser drops the assault case. Oh, really? Yeah, so he had to have known on Saturday that this was going to happen. So the case's dismissal comes weeks after a federal judge ordered this Dustin Heiss to pay Lemon $77,000 for not complying with court rules. Oh, okay. What happened? Well, I misremembered the incident. Wait, what? Yeah. I claimed that he assaulted me in the Hamptons, a couple summers ago. And then, sure, I paid a couple witnesses to remember testimony favorable to me. That was all. I mean, if it was real, and I still kind of believe it is, I don't know. It just seems so. Let me put it this way. I want to believe that it is, but it feels like with this, what's what happened with the case, that it wasn't real. And this guy did misremember, as he calls it, or I don't know, what's another word for misremembering? Oh yeah, lied. And he did, right? I mean, so of course, Lemon's attorney is this, fully vindicates him, brings an end to this abusive lawsuit. This was a case of a crass money grab from its inception. He's never paid the plaintiff a dime over the course of this unfortunate spectacle, and he's looking forward to moving on with his life. Okay. I know that, we've heard plenty of stories that defend Heiss's original story, but I just feel like, and plus, this was kind of in the Me Too world, only on the, male-to-male side. Because it was, he was supposed to have grabbed Heiss at the bar and, did some other lewd things, which, who among us hasn't done that at a bar? But after a lot of inner reflection and a deep dive into my memory, I have come to realize that my recollection of events that occurred on the night in question when I first met CNN anchor Don Lemon were not what I thought they were when I filed this lawsuit. As a result, I'm dropping the case. Oh, oh, okay. Well, all right. Good luck. God bless. Another court case that's still ongoing is the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial that is just never ending. I mean, it's a scorched earth trial. And I guess Johnny has now rested his case. So we'll see what happens on the Amber Heard side of things, her defense. But she just fired her PR firm. I mean, they haven't been doing a great job, that's for sure. But she hasn't been doing anything to help them out. There's no doubt about that. And we know that there's millions of people who have signed the petition to get her off of Aquaman 2. I think there are over 3 million now, which is just incredible. So we'll see if she keeps her gig in Aquaman 2. I mean, I don't think that it should matter that people are pissed at her, although, in today's world, it will. No doubt about that. Now, she has hired this guy named David Shane. He is the president and CEO, get this, of Shane Communications. I know, weird that it would be called that. And apparently he does crisis and issues management for companies and high-profile people. Yeah, for a lot of money. So he previously worked against Depp on another high-profile case with between the actor and the management group, his former business managers, and they helped highlight allegations about Depp's spending habits. And so, he knows where some of the scabs are to pick against Johnny Depp. Will it help? I don't know. I don't think so. After this trial, I mean, when I say scorched earth, I mean, they both look bad. I believe that Johnny Depp should win this trial. What I've seen, what I've read about the trial, I feel like he's winning. But in today's world, who knows? And, is he going to get the $50 million from Amber? I don't know. Does she have it? I don't know. And if she doesn't have it, get her on Aquaman 2 so she does get some cash. So we'll see. I mean, it's a tough time the next few years from now until, you know, Johnny gets a new gig and does a, you know, he'll do a Netflix movie. He'll do a Hulu movie. He'll do an HBO Max movie, and he'll be awesome. And all will be forgiven. All will be forgiven. So I don't know if all is going to be forgiven at a hospital in Peru, because they said that Rosa Isabella Sesapide Calaca was dead. And they sent her off to the morgue to, you know, have a funeral. And so the family arranged a funeral. Off they went. And then as they were all standing around the coffin at the funeral, they heard something banging around in the coffin. And they have videos of, you know, someone pushing on the coffin from the inside. And so they took the top off, and there she was. She was inside the coffin, kind of sweating. That's not funny. I'm not laughing. So she did have vital signs. There's a video of them hauling her through a crowd in the coffin with the top off, throwing her in the back of a pickup truck, rushing her to the hospital. And then there's a video of her in the hospital. She's still in the coffin. There's doctors standing around, and there's video of her still in the coffin at the hospital, which is a little abnormal, I would say, at least abnormal for here in the United States of America, maybe not Peru. And so they put her on life support, and they claimed that she had vital signs, very low vital signs, and her condition improved slightly once on life support, giving hope that a miracle was in progress, but no, she died. So she just didn't die when they said she died. Maybe that little extra time in the coffin pushed her over the edge. I don't know. Who am I to decide that? The relatives are a little angry. They're demanding answers. So apparently she was in a really bad car crash. And there were some kids in the car crash. They are in critical condition, but alive. She obviously was in critical condition, although thought it was serious. And her brother-in-law lost his life in the crash. It was a terrible car crash. So they, I guess maybe, you know, the guy at the hospital was like, yep, she's dead too. But no, she's not. So man, that would really stink. Wouldn't that just would stink. You can quote me on that. That would really stink. That would not be fun. We're gathered here today. Is that someone on the inside of this? Is that somebody in the coffin? Help. Help. I don't think she was saying anything, though. I don't think she had the energy to say anything. And I don't know for how long. So she was in some kind of coma, I guess. I mean, I don't know how you get in a coma and nobody says, yeah, she still has some kind of vital signs. Nope, dead. Did you even check her? Nah, the brother-in-law's dead. That guy's dead. The kids we're working on, they're in rough shape. She's dead too. Get her out of here. Wow. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what kind of deal you could get from the Peruvian medical community. But the hospital is, looking into it. Well, that's good. I'm glad that everyone is looking into it. So on a huge day in the U.S. when we have leaked documents from the Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade, I wanted to have a chat with Phelan McAleer, who had his play canceled, his play, The O. Gosnell, The Truth About Abortion, and one venue canceled it. Phelan McAleer. Before we get to Hunter, let's talk about O. Gosnell, the truth about abortion. Has that been rescheduled? Are you good to go with that now?
Yeah, we got it
pulled.
So 6 days before curtain up, the venue said, you know what, we're canceling the contract, we're sending your money back, we're not putting this play on in our sacred New York theater space. And you know, it really is a sacred sacrament, right, for the secular people. It's so they were not going to have the devil in their theater. So they just threw us out and sent us a very, very fancy smancy legal letter with alleging fraud and alleging inappropriate video, inappropriate for children. This is the same theater, by the way, who was running a play about young girls who worked for Hitler and explored their sexuality. So,
but heaven forbid we talk about abortion.
Heaven forbid. And by the way, the play is not, you know, it's talking about abortion, but it's verbatim. It's from the courtroom. It's from the trial of Kermit Gosnell. Every word is either from the grand jury testimony or the trial testimony. I'm not putting any extra drama in. So anyway, we got a new venue. It's in the Chain Theater in Manhattan. It opens on the Thursday, the 5th of May, and it's running that weekend, and it's running the next weekend. And, you know, I was prompted to do this before the Supreme Court thing came out, because I could see all the left, they're putting on a play in Manhattan at exactly the same time. We open on the same night. One is called, theirs is called, Oh God, A Show About Abortion, which is an abortion comedy, a one woman's hilarious journey from pregnancy to not being pregnant. I went to it. I went to the previews, and it's
how good. Before you tell me, I just want to know, how good was it?
You know, I tried to be level head about it, and I don't think it was that good. Right, I don't think it was that.
Isn't that Abrams?
Yeah, J.J. Abrams. Yeah, J.J. Abrams, the Uber Hollywood producer is spending his money pushing an abortion comedy in New York. Wow. This is driving Hollywood ballistic. This abortion thing, and Alana Glazer, who's a big Hollywood actor as well, they're pumping tons of money into it. And so we decided, you know, there needed to be an alternative viewpoint, an alternative voice. Yeah. And I'm encouraging everyone, go to the abortion comedy and then come to the verbatim abortion story about Dr. Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia abortion doctor. He's serving 3 life sentences. So let's hear the other side of this. Let's hear both sides of the story. But that doesn't work in New York. So they tried to shut us down. We got a new venue. We're opening on the same night as the abortion comedy, May the 5th, which is a Thursday. And we're running that weekend. We're running the next weekend. Look, everyone needs to do their, you know, everyone needs to get the truth out in their own way. And people, if you're in New York, please go to gosnellplay.com. We need a crowd, because the New York Times is going to come and review it.
Oh, yeah.
On the second night, which is always a difficult night to get a crowd. I'm a bit nervous because everyone wants to go on the opening night. Nobody wants to go on the second night. Right. So I'm worried.
Although the second night's a Friday night, so that's kind of good.
That's good. That's good. But listen, if any of your listeners are in New York or know anyone in New York, please send them the link, gosnellplay.com. Even write to me personally. I might comp you a ticket or two.
I
just want a crowd. I want an enthusiastic crowd.
I wish I was going to be there.
Yeah. No, it's a great, it's a great story. I have been deliberately staying away from the rehearsals, but the director has been telling me about some of the things they're doing. And, you know, you don't really need to add drama to a courtroom drama sometimes. The testimony speaks for itself.
I mean, the testimony, I remember, and I haven't gone back to look at it, in quite a while, but I remember some of the testimony being pretty horrific.
Yeah, we're keeping a lot of the horrific stuff, you know, talked about, but not really gone into detail. It's, you know, listen, we understand it's a night out. It's an hour and 10 minutes long. This Thursday, the opening night, we're having the detective who put Gosnell behind bars, really, the guy who started the investigation.
Oh, wow. Nice.
We're having him for a Q&A afterwards. So, you know, it's going to be, but it's never been more important. It's never been more important for the truth to come out. So we really want people to go and buy their tickets and support us. And, you know, the left don't want this truth out there. Like, well, why wouldn't
they do not?
Why wouldn't they want the truth about? I mean, that was one of the things about the abortion comedy, the one woman show, the abortion comedy, which has been funded by Hollywood. It's neither comedic nor does it talk about abortion at all. It talks about everything else. But the actual abortion is talked about in 10 seconds, and then they move on to a joke about cats.
Literally.
Or cockroaches. Like, it's just... blink
I find that... Phil, I find that hard to believe because there's so much comedy in abortion.
I think you're being sarcastic there, Jeff.
I'm just an innocent
Irish guy, but I think you might be... We don't do sarcasm in Ireland.
I think
you might be. I'd need to check that out now. So I don't know you Americans.
Let me ask you a question now. If for those of us that are not going to be able to be in Manhattan, and I don't want to, you know, dissuade anyone from going to Manhattan and seeing both shows, in particular, O Gosnell, The Truth About Abortion. But is there going to be a way perhaps on a website at a later date for us to view this particular play?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we are going to be putting out the reenactments through a podcast method. We're going to be announcing that later on in the month. That's actually what inspired us was we were recording some stuff for a podcast, and we realized, wow, this is dramatic. We should put on a play. And then we saw that Hollywood were putting on a play as well. We thought, you know what? Let's put on one at the same time. And so here we are. It's amazing. You know, look, both sides, and I'm happy. The truth of the Gosnell story. Gosnell, don't forget, was Philadelphia abortion doctor. Maybe many of your listeners don't know him. He was allowed to kill for 40 years. He was involved. This is the thing. I was just writing about it recently. This man was involved in something called the Mother's Day Massacre. That's what the media called it in 1972, right? It was a massive media furore over what was known as the Mother's Day Massacre. 11 women were mutilated. Several had to have hysterectomies, experimental techniques, experimenting on women, you know, complete madness by Gosnell. And he wasn't stopped from practicing then. And all through the next 40 years, women were dying. Illegal abortions were noted at hospitals when women were turning up seriously ill. No one.
They didn't care.
The head of the health in Philadelphia wrote a report saying that women were coming back with sexually transmitted diseases, that he was obviously reusing instruments. Nothing. It was complaint after complaint after complaint, but to protect the sacred sacrament of abortion. Yeah,
no one cared.
The health department looked the other way. So I think it's time to stop looking the other way, and we need to look at it head on. And that's why they canceled the theater, because the truth about abortion is not that, it's tough, it's rough.
When you look around the world today, Phelim, I mean, what you said earlier is so correct. I mean, it's never more important than right now for the truth to come out. And the truth, not your truth, not someone else's truth, but the truth. I mean, it's just amazing what's happening around the world. Now we have, okay, so you've got your play. And now what's going on with my movie, My Son Hunter? What's happening? How close are we? How much is on the cutting room floor? I must have missed the call for my part at the strip club because I don't recall recording it. What's happening with the movie?
You were very drunk at the time, Jeff. We need to talk about your drinking. You know, okay. We need to have an intervention because you were there. You don't have to remember it, no? Look, we are literally at final days. We are literally, days from a fully packaged, wrapped up with a bow movie. So then it's a matter of getting it out, and we have some very interesting theories and plans on that. We wanted to get it out to as many people as possible in an accessible way. So we're working on that at the moment.
I'm excited. And if I can do anything with either of these, I'm happy to help out. So very exciting about O Gosnell. I know you're in New York, so enjoy the city of New York. But, you know, be safe. Keep your head on a swivel in that fine city.
Oh, I know. It's funny. There is just an air of, you need to watch yourself here that I've never noticed before. Like, you know, I started coming to New York after 9/11, yeah. around 9/11.
I worked in Manhattan for 2 or 3 years. I mean, in and out of the city every day. And I never felt that.
No, it was always safe. Funny, it was safer than you were, you know, you'd be in places like, you know, Houston or somewhere in Ohio, and and then you come to New York and you realize this is one of the safest cities on the planet, right? It's just, right. Because there was people there, there was cops there, there was just an atmosphere of safety. People, funny, New York, this idea of New Yorkers being unfriendly, they were very helpful, they would give you directions, they would, you know, look after you. Now there's just this element of, watch yourself.
We're back to being scared again. Yeah.
Yeah. The criminal class are cocky. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, there's an air of madness and there's the air of you can get away with this.
Yeah. My father-in-law spent all kinds of time there in the 70s and he talked about how bad it was. And, you know, we're back to that now. No question. All right, Phelan Mackler, thank you. I know you're busy. I'll let you get on your way. I just wanted to chat with you a little bit about the play and what was happening with the movie. And anything we can do to help, please let me know. I appreciate it. Phelan Mackler, mysonhunter.com and ogosnell.com. Is that right?
Gosnellplay.com.
Gosnellplay.com. You got it.
USNELLplay.com. And want people to know the New York Times is probably going to review it on the Friday. So we want as many people to come, an enthusiastic crowd, to show the New York Times that there is a real hunger for the truth. So this Friday, excellent. May the 6th, please come and tell them Jeff sent you.
Absolutely. All right, Phelan, thank you. I appreciate it, man. So just a couple of headlines to leave you with today. Spirit Airlines apparently thinks that $2.9 billion is better than $3.6 billion. Okay. Maybe that's because they think they're going to get the $2.9 billion, and they're not going to get the $3.6 billion from JetBlue. They said, we'll take Frontier's deal for $2.9 billion because I know JetBlue offered $3.6 billion, but we don't think they're going to get approval. To make that go through because they have an alliance with American Airlines in the Northeast and a deal, and the Justice Department is suing to block that deal. So they're looking to get the money and they're saying, you know what, $2.9 million does sound better than zero, even though, you know, it would be nice to take the 3.6 instead of the 2.9. You can quote me on that as well. Amazon loses the Staten Island warehouse, and they didn't lose it. The union lost it. Oh, okay. So workers voted to reject a bid to unionize. Huh. Boy, I bet you that ticks off a lot of people. So 62% of the workers at the LDJ5 sorting center voted against unionizing with the American Labor Union. Yeah, it's a blow to the upstart union. Yeah, you aren't kidding. They apparently successfully made the workers unionize at a warehouse across the street at another New York facility, but no, sorry, not going to happen here, okay? So we'll see how that pans out. They'll be back at the union board as soon as they can, and I believe that. And we have Grindr, the dating app. Don't worry about Grindr. They just shared your user information data that was collected online. Yeah, they just shared it for the last few years. Don't worry about it. Yeah, now look, we've cured it now. We don't do it anymore. Sure, there might be some legacy information still available. But, we didn't think sharing the data with marketers posed a privacy issue. It was just where you were located at, you know, where you're at, that kind of information. Stuff that, you know, we didn't think it was a privacy issue. Now, to be fair to Grindr, just off the top of my head, I would say that that's kind of true since you're telling, you're hooking up with people on the app, right? So you want them to know where you're at. And so that you can get together for a friendly drink. But you do believe that once you're inside the app, your information is safe, I guess, which it wasn't. And I'm sure that in the rules and regulations, you were told, yeah, hey, we can sell your stuff. That's what they all fall to. But no more. No more. They're saying, no, we don't do it anymore. So if you were on Grindr the last few years, just know that your information probably was shared by them. So that's all. That's all. And I see where Monopoly is having people vote on bringing back the old pieces that they don't have anymore. I believe I have all of these pieces in my Monopoly collection. I know. So they're saying here on MonopolyTokenVote.com, throwback token vote, ready to vote. And I thought I'd vote with you. Let's start this up. Who's in? So you can select a token to make a comeback. You get the wheelbarrow, the thimble, the iron, the boot, the money bag, and my favorite, horse and rider. Now, I always love the horse and rider, and you know, because it stands up taller than the other pieces. It's easy to grab, easy to move, easy to kick the other pieces the hell out of your way. I like the horse and rider. I know I have at least one horse and rider in my Monopoly game. Now, I don't know how many Monopoly games we have in the house. I love Monopoly. And I haven't played it in a while, but I'm a fan of Monopoly. And there's, you know, all kinds of ways to play it. The original, and you can make it shorter. But I vote for horse and rider. So next, all right. Oh, there's some more tokens I didn't see. I have these too. Scotty, the selected token you'd like to see the leave the game. The Scotty dog, Hazel. I don't remember Hazel the cat. Battleship, yep, I had that. Penguin, I don't know that I remember the penguin either. Race car, yeah. T-Rex, I don't remember T-Rex. Top hat, of course. You had to have the top hat. And rubber ducky, and it was always good to kind of have the top hat. You know, I guess maybe the money bags too. But if we had to get rid of one for, T-Rex, right? I mean, that's not original Monopoly stuff. That should be a special in. You voted in Horse and Rider. Who's out? T-Rex. Yeah, I want to submit my vote. Okay. Thanks for voting. Come back to see who won Monopoly token vote. You can get the game before it changes. You want me to buy the game? Well, you're welcome for voting. Okay. And I may have to, you know, see who won. I'll come back. Thank you. But you can figure it out at MonopolyTokenVote.com. I don't know that I did that with you, but it's kind of unfulfilling. So you know what? I'll leave you with this. This was sent to me on Twitter, at JeffyJFR. You can follow me there. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. And I don't necessarily think this is real, but I like it. It appears to be taken out of a newspaper. A woman was found guilty in court of a traffic offense, and when asked for her occupation, she said she was a school teacher. The judge rose from the bench. "Madam, I have waited years for a school teacher to appear before this court." He smiled with delight and said, "Now, sit down at that table and write, 'I will not run a red light 500 times.'" See what I mean? It's kind of funny, but probably not real.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.